What do angels sound like? What's their job description? Can they commit sin? Dr. James A. Scudder's diligent study of this issue is presented here for your enjoyment and benefit. Thanks for joining us for part two of The Truth About Angels and Demons. Here's Dr. James A. Scudder.
The Truth About Angels and Demons, part two, and we're going to try to share just as much as we possibly can about angels and about demons. You know, that's very popular today, angels. And we have people that sometimes we say our children are little angels, but most of the time they're little what? They're not little angels. When you think they're angels is when you're in for a big awakening. As I shared with you once, my oldest granddaughter, when she was 1 year old, my cousin said to me, "Is she always this good?" And I said, "Popping buttons." I said, "Always." And the moment I said that, she screamed for a solid hour. Nothing could stop her. And I said, "Lord, if you will stop her mouth, I will promise I will never, ever say that my little granddaughter is an angel." Because she proved to me that she's not. But we're going to talk about angels. We're going to talk about some really neat things about angels tonight. Years ago, I shared this story. Some of you may have heard it, but I want you to kind of get it across again, maybe. But a man named Juan came up to the Mexican border on his bicycle, and he had bags of over his shoulders. The guard stops him and said, "What's in the bags?" And he said, "Sand." The guard says, "We'll just see about that. Get off the bike." The guard takes the bags of sand and rips them apart, empties them out, and finds nothing in them but sand. Even takes them and has them analyzed. He detains Juan overnight till the process is done, or discover that there's nothing in those bags but sand. The guard releases Juan, puts the sand back into the bags, lifts him over the man's shoulders, and lets him cross the border. A week later, the same thing happens. The guard goes through the same thing again, detains him for a whole hour, a whole night. The guard does this through examination and discovers the bags contain nothing but sand. He gives the sand back to Juan. Juan crosses the border on his bicycle, and the sequence repeats every day for 3 years. Then one day, Juan doesn't show up anymore. The guard runs into him accidentally at a restaurant there in Mexico. "Hey, buddy," the guard says, "I know you're smuggling something. It's driving me crazy. It's all I think about. I can't sleep at night. What in the world are you smuggling? It's just between you and me. You will not go to jail. I will not repeat it. I just have to know. What have you smuggled for 3 years?" And Juan says, "Bicycles." You know, a diversion sometimes is what will make us wonder what we're talking about, are about angels. And sometimes the diversion will let you not even know what angels are really like. The modern view of angels are too tame and watered down. On the show Touched by an Angel, they're bungling idiots most of the time trying to learn their job. And they're not, you know, they're so tame you'd never be afraid of one of them. But, you know, real angels invoke awe. And they inspire terror. How about typical response? John falls down in Revelation and worships them. The angel said, "No, we can't accept worship." But that's what happens. So what are angels? Whether or not what we're seeing today what do angels really look like? We really don't know except for some of the visions that we had of Elijah going up and different things in the cherubims and seraphims. But we don't truly have a vision of what an angel really looks like. Most angels look like women with long hair and playing harps. But that's really not what an angel looks like. And an angel is something that has been created by God, made by God for a reason. And that reason is to serve us. And we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail later. But angels' purpose is to serve Christians. Now, I know some people could take that and go with that and I could hear, Dave, on your talk show, I could hear someone calling you and saying, that sounds silly. Angels are made to serve Christians. But that's what it is. And that's what they are. And that's why we have them. And we're going to see that a little bit later. Now, do angels, now listen to this now. Do angels have the voice of an angel? How many people have told me through the years, and I've done it myself. I said, you know, I said that Deidre Harriman has the voice of an angel. Or someone would say, Aaron Holler has the voice of an angel. Or Michelle Kakuza has the voice of an angel. Or many others. You know, no one's ever said that about me. Not in their wildest imagination has anybody said that about me. Pastor Muscerino from Bemidji told someone the other day that he thought I could really sing good. I don't know if I'll ever let him speak again if he's got that bad a judgment. He really said that. I'm a little concerned about him. I think he was hallucinating. No. Angels don't really have the voice of angels. And listen, before we leave tonight, I want to tell you what angels sound like. I'm serious. This is not a joke. I'm going to tell you what angels sound like. And I doubt if this has ever been done on television or radio in the history of the world. I don't even think the man in white has ever done this. But I'm going to tell you from biblical study what angels sound like. And in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you. And I think you're going to be very surprised. This is about the only thing I've ever come up with myself in all my studies that no one else has ever come up with in the history of all that I've ever done. And tonight, you're going to be pleased to find out what angels sound like. No, I'm not going to sing to you. That would certainly not be classified as angel. It would be something else that we don't want to talk about. Okay, what are some of the things that angels usually say? Now, this isn't what I'm talking about yet. Angel to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, what did he say? They said, don't be afraid. You know, they're not certainly, you know, an angel and touched by an angel walks in and no one's afraid. No one, but they're always afraid. How about to the Virgin Mary? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Angels to the shepherds at Christmas. Don't be afraid. The woman at the tomb of Jesus. The angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So let me tell you, angels are to calm us, but also when we see angels, we're afraid. You know, I'm going to tell some stories tonight about things that have really happened in our church. These are some things recently. You know, someone says, where do you get a lot of your humor? Well, I just tell stories about people in my church. This is one I heard today. Can you imagine anybody telling me a story on Sunday and not thinking it won't get in the message? But we were eating and Granny Joyce, the children's other grandmother, who's also a thief, who tries to steal my grandkids from me. She has 10, 20, or 30 of them, and she still wants mine. She has a whole bunch of them, but she wants mine. My two that aren't hers. I don't mean the two that are hers, but she wants it too. So poor Granny. But anyway, she's going to have a hip replacement. And the doctor was going to do it, said he couldn't do it when she wanted it done. So they found out they couldn't have it done. So they wanted to find and call another hospital. And so my daughter-in-law, Karen, she frantically gets on the phone and she's calling. And she's trying to find out where they can get the hip replacement at the time we need it. And she was saying to the people that are trying to find the right hospital and the right doctor, she said, I want to know the best hip man in the country to do the work with my mother. And the lady thought she said hit man. And she said, do you understand what you're saying is highly illegal? That is the truth. Now, Joyce, am I telling the truth? Yes, okay. If you didn't say yes, you were in big trouble. Isn't it great how that's the truth? And only through things that, Christian, you know, we can have fun with that. Some people in the world, they couldn't even laugh about something like that. They can't even laugh about surgery or laugh about things of the Lord or dying or anything like that. As the young man that was baptized tonight, and he told his mommy, as he was having an asthma attack down south, he said, "Don't worry about me, Mom. I don't have to be water baptized." He said, "I'm going to heaven anyway, and you can quit worrying." Isn't that a nice thing? See, we only as Christians can say that. I remember I used to be so afraid of dying and where I would go. I really was. It was just a scary thing to me. And I just finally said, "Well, I'm not going to make it anyway. Why try?" But that's kind of, I was just so discouraged. Well, let me tell you what angels sound like. And this is something that I think you're really going to enjoy. But, you know, the expression voice of an angel just doesn't exist. So what do angels sound like? Well, if you've studied, you will realize that angels almost always are telling us to get going, hurry up. And if you'll see the scriptures, I want you to see this. They're always saying, get on the move. I started thinking about it, and I started to put this into my talk of the Kentucky nature. And angels really say, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Angels are always saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Brenda, am I doing this correctly? You're from Arkansas, so I just want to know. She says, "I am not. I'm from Minnesota." Can you imagine anybody claiming that? They say, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." You say, "Prove that to me." Well, you know, many times angels get people up very, very early. Did you ever have your alarm clock not go off and you wake up anyway in panic? How many of you have woke up, say, 5 minutes after your alarm clock didn't go off in total panic, but you woke up? Raise your hand. Almost everybody here. Well, it scares me to death when that happens. What wakes you up? Well, you say, "Prove it's an angel." I can't prove it, but I can prove it happened in the Bible to others. How about Peter when he was in jail in Acts 12:7? If you look at Acts 12:7 with your verses. "But behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly.' And his chains fell off." Man, that is incredible. He says, get up quick, hurry up. He whacks him on the side for good measure. I can tell from this, Peter was an extremely good sleeper. If you can be in jail and you can be sleeping so much that the angel has to tell you to get up and has to hit you, that's a sleeper. Well, Peter was a great sleeper. And the angel said, "Get up, hurry up, come on, get up." Elijah sat under the tree brooding. An angel came to him and said, "Get up and eat." You know, some of you say, "I'd love to see an angel." If you say that, you better not be a late riser, because angels usually come in the morning. Some of you don't even know that happens, do you? Pastor Bob Gray once took a group out of town of his kids, and one boy had never seen the sun come up in his whole life. And the sun was coming up. He says, "Pastor Gray, what is that?" He had no idea it was the sun. You know, the other day, now, if you're watching from Ohio, I want you to forgive me for what I'm going to say. Just take it out of your mind. It's not personal. But I always kid my wife about the buzzards returning to Hinckley every year. And she says, "I wish they wouldn't have that." Well, there was a video commentary on the perfect bank robberies. And there was this bank robbery out in California. And it was magnificent as far as the crooks. They went and they blew a hole in the ceiling. They got down, disarmed everything. Then they went back up and patched the ceiling so it didn't look like it had been blown up. And then the next night they went down and they just robbed everything out of the bank. But they said it sounded like this group from Youngstown, Ohio. My wife's going, oh, brother, here we go again. And they said Youngstown had the 100 bank robbers. They call them the Youngstown 100. And they said this sounded like part of the Youngstown 100. And they caught them because they used an apartment, paid for it with a false name and with cash. They wiped down the whole place with alcohol so there's no fingerprints. They put all the dishes in the dishwasher, and they forgot to turn on the dishwasher. And all the prints were on the dishes, and they all went to jail. And they said they were all the Youngstown, part of the Youngstown 100. My wife says, oh, why did they have to say that? Now, Ohioans, you've got a great state. I'm just kidding, except for the Youngstown 100. They got caught. Why? Because they had fingerprints left because they didn't turn on the dishwasher. See, angels are there to help us. Angels are there to help us in an incredible work. Now, angels aren't part of winning people to Christ, but they're to help us in our daily work, in what we're doing to try to help and win people to Christ. And as Elijah in 1 Kings 19:5, as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Get up. Hurry up. Get up. Most of you don't seem to agree with me. Angels say, hurry up, hurry up. But they do. They'll give you the kick you need. Elijah's going around moping, feeling sorry for himself. Now, you know, this is one of the most incredible things in all Scripture. Elijah, the great man that could challenge the prophets of Baal, that could pray and it not rain and then pray and it rains. One of the great men, and as we shared not too long ago with you, that he was a man of like us. He was a man like us. Well, like us, even though he was a great man of God, he got scared of Jezebel and took off and hid. And he was moping around. He was totally discouraged, totally despondent. And anything except what you would have thought, this great man of God that could stand up against the prophets of Baal. But he went and hid under the juniper tree, and an angel came. Get up and get out of it and knock it off. You know, we're living in a day that there's all names for all kinds of things. If a woman would kill her baby, and it's a horrible thing, they have a name for it. Postpartum depression. And they've got a name for it, and they use that name. And they say, this woman has that, and this woman has this. And I'm not saying people don't have problems, friends. And I don't want to see anybody. If you see someone having a problem, you try to help them. You try to get with them and help them, encourage them. But that's why we need church. That's why we need to be with each other. Because it helps us. It gives us strength. And to realize that we have an angels as Christians that can help us get out of these things. As he did with Elijah. Arise and eat. Get up. Touched him. So again, the angel touched him. Quit moping. Quit moping. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream when Herod is slaughtering the infants and says, go quickly, go quickly. And when in Matthew 2:13, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I don't know if this at all amazes you, but this amazes me. This is the God of the universe, the baby Jesus. And yet, the angel comes and tells Joseph, get up, get out of here, and do it in a hurry. And flee. That word flee, if you don't know what it means get going quickly. Don't look back. Don't try to pack your bags. Get out of here now. And Joseph got up and went out and did it now. God uses means. God uses means. That's what we need to understand. God uses means. He says, get up and get going and flee. And I'll tell you what, Joseph got up and he had to get moving. Now, a lot of Christians believe, oh no, God does it all. We just kind of bystanders. No, sir. This was Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, her husband, Jesus, of course, being of the Virgin Mary, and told by Joseph the angel, you get up, you get the family out of here, and you get into Egypt. And I say, now, I want you to do it now. Now, most of the time in the Bible, Christians shouldn't go to Egypt. Most of the time in the Bible, it's wrong to go to Egypt. But not every time in the Bible is it wrong to go to Egypt. If God tells you to go to Egypt, then you go to Egypt. But only if God tells you to go to Egypt. So get up and get going. Get out of here. I remember a person, and they had a trailer. And I said, listen, put that trailer in the paper and sell it. They'd found a house to live in. And they had the trailer sitting out here on a piece of property. Now has a road going through it. And I said, pick up the phone and call the paper. And this person said to me, if God wants me to sell that trailer, God being all-powerful, all-knowing, He will sell that trailer. And I don't have to put it in the paper. I went out there with him about a month later, and I'm still trying to get him to do it. And the trailer's been broken into. Of course, there's no insurance because they weren't living in it, and they took off their insurance because, of course, God's going to take care of you. God will do it, and you don't need insurance. I've heard a lot of Christians say that. I've had people in this church say that until their kid breaks their arm. And then they come and say, do you have that school insurance? But wait a minute. If you don't believe in the insurance, don't believe in it after your child breaks their arm. See, God expects us to use means. And here's Joseph fleeing, and an angel told him to do it. And he's supposed to do it quickly. There's a lot of people say, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Now, I know all of you have heard this story 1,000 times. This story is told more than any other story. But I want to tell it because it makes such a point here. There was a man who, the flood was coming, and they sent a boat, and he wouldn't get in, a helicopter, he wouldn't get in. Pretty soon, the man drowns. And the man goes to Jesus and said, why didn't you protect me? He said, I did. I sent a helicopter, and I sent a boat. And you wouldn't get in. So you drowned. That's how people are sometimes. And they say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need help. I don't need anything. Well, we do need things, and we do need help, and we do need a lot of things. So get up, Elijah. Maybe you thought you'd like to hear an angel, but now you're not so sure. It seems that angels are messengers from God who come to do His work. Did you notice that it says work? And we're partners. And the angel had the person get up and get moving. Get moving. I think some time back I shared the story with you about a fortune teller using a crystal ball talking to a frog. And said to the frog, you're going to meet a beautiful young lady, one of the most beautiful ladies in all the earth. When she sees you, she will not be able to take her eyes off of you. The frog looks at the fortune teller and says, will I meet her in church? And the fortune teller said, no, in biology class. Sometimes, you know, we have a complete wrong idea about God, about angels, what angels are supposed to do and not do. And I want us to now look at the part that we talk about angels, about the purpose of an angel. Okay, we've already mentioned, but I want to go into a detail now. Angels were created to be God's servants. They're created to be God's servants. Hebrews 1:7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh the angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. And Hebrews 1:13 and 14, but to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? And they not all... Are they not all ministering spirits? Listen to this. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, he's not ministering spirits to all those that go to, quote, Christian church. Because many in the church today aren't saved. But they're ministering spirits to those that have trusted Jesus and trusted His blood to get them to heaven. They're the ministering spirits. And they're to minister to us, the heirs of salvation. Man, you and I, how many of you get a chill out of that angels are sent to minister to us? I think that's one of the great things. And you know, we have jobs that God wants us to do, and we've got help of God. If we would just get over our depression. Now, in the end of this message, Lord willing, if I have enough time, I'm going to tell you an incredible story about a lady who had no food, and the Lord took care of her at the last moment. And it's an incredible story. Hopefully, I'm going to have time to tell it. But to have the angels as ministering spirits to you and to me, not only do we have eternal life in heaven, we have a wonderful life here on earth. The Holy Spirit to indwell you. The angels to minister to you and to encourage us and to help us walk in Christ. And when we are constantly, you know, this week I had something that really, really upset me and broke my heart. And the first thing I did to get over it, I went and I said, God, I thank you that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I'm so thankful to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And I did that and said that, and a peace came over me. And I don't understand it, but all I know is I didn't worry about the problem again. Because God, but we have to go to Him the right way. As I shared recently, you don't go to the Lord going, oh, I'm just so mad at you, Lord. Why don't you do this and this and this? And your prayer actually hurts you. And at the time you get done praying, you're worse off than if you hadn't prayed because you're going to the Lord with a complaining spirit. You got to go to the Lord with praise and worship. And that's critical that we learn to do that. You know, I believe there's someone possibly watching, and I don't have visions or anything else, but I believe there's a person watching or listening on radio, very scared to go to sleep at night. And I think a lot of you in this room are very scared to go to sleep at night, and you're scared to death. You don't have to be afraid. You heard of the man that took his Bible, and he'd get to bed, and he'd take his Bible and put it under the bed. And so why do you do that every night? And says, well, the angel hides in the darkest places, no darker place than under my bed, and I'm just letting him see the Word of God and get him out of there. Well, that might be a little extreme. But I'll tell you what, I'd hate to ever go to bed without having a Bible beside me. Having the Word of God in my heart, studying the Word of God. Okay, point three I want to give you is, can angels sin? Can they sin? Well, God can neither be tempted with evil or can He be in the presence of sin. It is certain He did not create angels with sin. They were created holy. Now, we're going to talk about the demons and their fall in our last message. So we're going to address the sin of demons. But the angels today cannot sin. Angels have supernatural abilities, but they are still created beings. Angels cannot be but one place at one time. God is everywhere all the time. I was being questioned by my youngest granddaughter, a 4-year-old, and she was questioning me very hard on Friday, and she said that she had been to Israel and she had been to the church of the Nativity. Now, I'm sure she doesn't really remember it, but her folks have probably told her about it. She said, Papa, I believe there's nowhere in the world you haven't been. I said, honey, Papa hadn't been a whole lot of places in the world. She says, name just two. She just didn't believe that. I said, well, I've never been to Cuba. I said, I'll let Jimmy Carter do that. And Governor Ryan. And I've never been to Russia. I'll just name a two. And she said, okay, I just want to make sure. She wanted to know. She thought her papa had been everywhere. But see, God is everywhere, but angels aren't everywhere at one time. Gabriel needed time to travel. You know, you don't think about that, do you? But they needed time. It takes time. In Daniel 9:21 through 23, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said that he was now come forth to give thee skill and understanding, and the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. The reason I gave that is to say the angel had to travel. Now, this was an unnamed angel, was delayed on his journey, and angels have limits to their strength. But the prince, Daniel 10:13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. It was held up for 21 days. Now, that tells you there's great struggle going on in heaven. We're going to talk about that again when we talk about demons on our last message. But angels have limitations in knowledge. They do not know when the second coming of Christ is. Matthew 24:36, but the day and the hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Angels learn by watching the church. Boy, this ought to give you a scare. Angels learn by watching the church. Wow. What do you think angels think of your Christian life? What do you think they think of you? Have you ever thought about what do angels think of you? If an angel were to come and give a synopsis of our Christian life, what do you think that angel would say about you or about me? Well, that person's pretty good as long as they sit in church, but as soon as they get out of church, they certainly don't act like an angel ever again or a saved child of God. Ever again. I don't think that'd be very good, would it? They're watching the church in Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The angels are learning the wisdom of God by watching the church. You say, man, there's no perfect church. In the whole world, there's no perfect church. You can find all kinds of faults with Quentin Road. You find all kinds of faults with me. There's no perfect church. I can find all kinds of faults with you. I'll bet you if we started listing all the faults, if everybody in this church, we bring them up one at a time, we'd list all their faults. Okay, we're going to start doing that. Who wants to come first? Anybody first? But we could all find faults with everybody, couldn't we? What if God would just share with me right now the fault finders of the church? The ones that find fault with everybody? And I say, okay, God, I want you to write on this paper the 5 biggest fault finders of the church. And I'm going to have them up here and I'm going to let people find out all the faults with them. You're not going to believe it. There's 5 names on this thing. Man alive, I guess I'm going to have to read them. Boy, would you die. Now, if I was the man in white, I'd do that, wouldn't I? Oh, I got it from heaven. Here it is. Oh, man. 1 Peter 1:12, unto him it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Man, the angels want to know what's going on with us. Man, do they want to know? Wow. Well, the angel's definition of personhood is that self-conscious, the angels are. Intellect, the angels have. Emotions and will, they have. In that sense, the angels would be classified as a person. But they're not people as we are. Job 38:7 says, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Angels will and do obey the commands of God. In Matthew 24:31, I love this one. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. It won't be long until very soon we will be able to see the Lord, because I believe he's coming back. at his church. It's something the angels want to look into. You say, well, man, I don't see how. It's because we've been washed in the blood. We're going to be a church without spot. I hear that song and I read those. A church without spot and blemish. I say, man, how could we? Because God sees us through Jesus. Aren't you glad? And they said, if you're a soul winner, God's going to do great things for you. He's going to cover a multitude of sins. Man, that would get a lot of you into soul winning. Some of you need to get going. And then if you start soul winning, you know one way it does that, it stops you from sinning. Because when you're a soul winner, it gives you the greatest joy that the world ever has known. And that's important. It's really important. But I thank God that we can be sure of going to heaven before we die. And that's the greatest news in all the world. And I want you to know that. I want you to share that. I want you to believe that. That you can be sure of going to heaven before you die. The greatest news in all the world.
Thanks for listening. I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. If you have any questions or you would like information about additional tape packages by Dr. Scudder, call 1-800-78-GRACE.